was saying is, I know tonight's maybe different than what we're used to, but how many know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? What we're doing tonight, we're coming together to hear the Word of God this evening, and where the Word is preached, lives can be changed. Amen? How many of you have had your lives changed by the Word of God? I know I have time and again, and I'll tell you, if you come hungry every time that these doors are open, your life will be changed by the Word that's preached here. Hallelujah. So we'll get what heaven has for us tonight. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start there this evening, Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to stay there, but we're going to start there. We'll go ahead and pray before we get into the Word tonight. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Father, I've prepared as much as I know to do for this service tonight, Lord, but we want to pray a prayer of consecration for this service, Father. It's not mine, it's yours, Father. So whatever you want said tonight, may that and that alone be what's said here in this place this evening. Father, we thank you for unction tonight. Thank you for utterance and boldness tonight, that the Word goes forth and helps us this evening, that we leave this place looking more like Jesus than when we came in these doors tonight. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What I want to talk about tonight, the Lord put it on my heart, and you saw that text come out from Pastor Mike today that this is vital, right? The message tonight is vital. And I know you're thinking, Pastor Mike's not here. Can we get a vital message? We sure can, because it's in the Word, right? We're going to talk about the power of a praying sheep tonight. The power of a praying sheep. Now, usually when I go minister at a church, if I'm filling in for a pastor, whether it's in Fredonia, South Dayton, Allegheny, Jamestown, wherever I fill in, I'll seek the Lord on, of course, what he'd have to minister at that service. And a lot of times, I do end up talking about the office of the pastor or the sheep, our role in the local church. There's a few reasons for that. One is what I'm usually feeding on myself. Why? Because I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. I sit under a pastor every week. I'm an assistant pastor there. I help him, and I have roles and things that I do. But my main purpose there is to be a good sheep in that church. And so I'm usually feeding on these things, so they're fresh to me, because I want to be the best sheep that I can be. Amen? You know, we ought to have a desire in us that whatever it is that we're putting our hand to, not only are we doing it diligently, but we ought to be doing it the best that we can. We have a guest minister that's ministered at the Fredonia Church a few times, Reverend Marcel Joseph. I don't know if you've seen him on live stream maybe or been at any of his services, but he said before, excellence means it's not excellent unless it can be done better. If it can be done better, it's not excellent. And that's something to ponder, and that's the same thing in every area of our life, how we serve, how we work, how we administrate our homes and our families, but especially in how we attend the church, who we are when we come together in the local church. Are we being excellent sheep? Are we putting as much effort into it as we can to be the best sheep that we can be? Because this is what Jesus has appointed for us to be. And just like he was the best son of God that he can be, we ought to be the best at what he's called us to do. And of course, we're all called to do other things besides just be a sheep. I'm called, of course, to be an assistant pastor there in Fredonia. Some of you may be called to the nursery, to worship eventually, to serve in the sound booth. Wherever we're called to serve in the local church, we ought to seek how we can do that the best that we can do. Amen. Usually when I talk about being a sheep, there's a few areas that we look at. One is, of course, receiving, how to come to service with our faith expectations turned high, how to have honor for the one that's ministering to us so that we can receive the message that God has for us. Another thing we talk about is serving in the local church, that God's called us all to have a part of serving here in this local church that he's called us to, that he's appointed us to. And of course, now I know some of us are, I know we have a huge ministry of helps that can't do a lot right now because we don't have any children's services, we don't have midweek services, so everybody's itching to get back at it, right? Don't let that hunger fade during this time, that as soon as the opportunities come back up to start serving again, get at it, right? Praise the Lord. The other thing we look at is giving, that it's our job to, of course, tithe to the local church, but also to be a blessing to our spiritual authority. And these are all important things. But tonight we're just going to talk about prayer and the role of prayer in the life of a sheep, in the life of a congregant, of a lay member of the congregation, which is what all of us in this place are. We can't, I don't want to say that any one of these is more important than any other one, but if I did, it might be prayer. But if I'm teaching on tithing, I might say tithing's the most important. All of these are hugely crucial and important parts of being a sheep in the local church. And as we look at prayer tonight, I believe that our faith's going to be stirred. You know I talk about this before, but how many know there's a whole lot of times prayer's mentioned in the Bible, more than once, right? We can't exhaust the truths that are in this book, and so we're going to get help from it tonight, praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul said many times to the churches that he was writing to. Now you would say that he's a holy man, right? You would say that he was anointed, that he ministered and did great and mighty works on the earth. One thing that was noted about his ministry is how many times he asked the churches to pray for him. And he told us how to pray for him. Now, if he needed prayer, who we would consider, you know, there's Jesus and then there's Paul a lot of times when we look at things. If he asked for our prayers, how much more every other member of the body of Christ, every other minister that's operating in the fivefold ministry. Look at it like this. A pastor that's trying to pastor a church without people in that church praying for him, they're handicapped as to what they have to do. I saw this video one time. It was absolutely amazing. And of course I cried, because if you don't know this about me, I'm a softie. I break down at just about anything. My wife makes fun of me for it all the time. So I was watching this video about this lady that she was born without any arms. She had no arms. She only had her legs. And she had learned to do just about everything that you and I can do without arms. She was able to drive. She was able to take care of children. She was able to, I mean, all these things she had managed to do, she had, because she, of course, grew up like this. But there were still things that she was limited, that she couldn't do the same as you and I can do. See, a pastor that doesn't have people in his church praying for him is like that. He can adapt. He can try and he can seek the Lord. He can make changes that need to be made. He can do things. He can follow the Holy Spirit. But he's still going to be limited. He's not going to be able to perform to the fullness of what God has called him to do if people aren't stepping up in the church to help make that power available. Right. One thing, I always say this when I minister this message, because it's important, because I know how the enemy works, is the thoughts will come that, oh, Pastor Mike just had him come in tonight to preach this message. Pastor Mike has not once told me what to preach when I come into his pulpit. He tells me to follow the Holy Ghost. And this message came to me last week. I knew that I'd be preaching here. And so I've just been meditating on these scriptures, seeking the Lord on what he would have to be said here tonight. And I believe we'll get help tonight. We'll step up our areas in prayer, right? Maybe some of us have never prayed for our pastor before. Well, this might be kindergarten for us then, and we're going to, by the end of tonight, we're going to be able to color in the lines tonight, amen. Right? Some of us may have been praying for our pastors for years, and so this is going to be a higher level than that, and we're going to get even more skillful after tonight, because every time we hear the word, we get better at the word, yes. Right? So we're going to leave this place better than we came tonight. Let's look at the word. Ephesians 4, verse 9, says this, "Now he that ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." See, if we're going to be people of prayer, lots of what we're doing here tonight is just stirring up our faith in this area. And how does faith come? We know this, Romans 10:17, by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we're going to look at scriptures tonight to stir up our faith on the areas of a pastor. Because see, God's not a God of obligation. And we're going to talk about this even later with the offering tonight, that he's after, what's God after in everything that we do for him? Our hearts, our motivation, that's where God is looking. He's not looking at our outside actions. He's not looking at how much money we drop in the offering bucket. He's not looking at how many ministries we serve in. He's looking inside of us at our hearts. And we want our hearts to be right before him. See, that text that Pastor Mike sent out today, it was funny because he didn't know I have this in here, but I put, if you love your pastor, you'll pray for him. If you love your pastor, truly love your pastor, you'll pray for him. Yes. Amen. And that's not to be a place of condemnation on any one of us, but if praying for them doesn't come easily, we need to stir ourselves up in that area. Why do I need a pastor? Why should I love this man? Why should I love this woman that God's anointed as a spiritual oversight in my life? Because I know to the natural, to the world, if you say, well, I love my pastor, people in the world think that's weird. Yeah. People in denominations oftentimes think that's weird. They think, oh, you know, that's the pastor. He's a good guy. He's a friend of mine. No, I love the one that God has placed in my life for me to receive heavenly revelations from every weekend, the one that answers to Jesus for the condition of my soul. Thank God that he gave us these spiritual leaders in our lives. So we're going to stir ourselves up on that line tonight. Ephesians 4, 9, like we read there. 9 and 10 are talking about when Jesus came to earth, and you know this, Jesus died on the cross and he went to hell for 3 days. And in those 3 days, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. There's a whole lot of doctrine here that we're not going to get into tonight. But after that, he grabbed all of the saints that had gone before that couldn't go to heaven because he hadn't come yet. They were in Abraham's bosom, which was down there, and he grabbed them, brought them up to heaven with him. So now it's talking about Jesus ascending back into heaven from hell. What I love about these scriptures, and I mention this every time I preach it because I think it's so important for us to see this, one of the very first things that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did when he came back from hell, so he conquered death, hell, and the grave, took sin and sickness away from us forever, put poverty down in hell where it belongs, that we'd have no part or lot in any of those matters. He got rid of all those things. He came up, he gave us the Holy Ghost, and then he's up in heaven. What was the very next thing he did? He gave us our pastors. That's how important it is to Jesus. And if it's that important to him, it ought to be important to us. He didn't say, he didn't put it on the to-do list that I'll get to it later. I'll give them some spirit, I'll give them oversight later, they'll be okay for a few years. No, it was one of the very first things that he did was to give us these gifts. That should tell us that it's important to him. And if it's important to him, it ought to be important to us. Amen? So the next part here in verse 11 is he gave this. See, we have to recognize, and we can't say this enough, our pastors are gifts from God. Amen. How many of you are thankful for salvation? Yes. Thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, rose again so that we could be saved? What does the Bible say about that? That was a gift from God, right? Yes. That he gave us his Son so that we could live eternally with him. We're often so quick to accept the gift of Jesus because it's a relationship between us and God. It's between us and him. But then there's this manward gift that comes along in our pastors that we're oftentimes not as quick to accept, not as quick to rejoice over, not as quick. How many of you, when you think about the fact that you're not going to hell, you want to run around the church, jump for joy, scream, tell everybody about it, right? You ought to. We ought to be excited that we're not going to hell, thankful for Jesus. We ought to be just as excited about the fact that he gave us pastors to watch out for us, to preach us the word of God. We ought to have just as much thrill about that we get to come to a place every weekend to hear a message from heaven from someone anointed to preach it directly to me. It's a personalized message just for me. It might be for you, but it's also for me because that's how God works. He has a way to get the words out of our pastor that can impact and change someone's life, and the next sentence can change someone else's life. And the same sentence can change two people's lives in completely different ways. How does that happen? Because it's a gift from God. Amen. He says that he gave us these ministry offices. We ought to be so thrilled about this ministry office that we have the opportunity to receive from, that we get so excited. It's not just a matter of filling an obligation, coming to church and filling a seat and sitting here and crossing off that I did the right thing this weekend. I was in church. No, it's an opportunity to come and hear from my gift. Open my gift that God has for me. Every weekend I get to unwrap. How many of you like Christmas and birthdays? And if you don't raise your hand, you're a liar. Everybody likes Christmas and birthdays because you get to open presents, right? Every Saturday we come here for church, we get to open up the gift of our pastor. It's Christmas every weekend. We ought to be excited about this. I'm getting excited about it, and I'm preaching it up here to myself. When we recognize that our pastor is a precious, holy, anointed gift from God, it'll cause us to see them in a different light. See, we have to recognize that our relationship with them is crucial to our spiritual health and our spiritual growth. My kids, Joshua's here with me tonight. I have two more kids at home. We love watching the Disney animal shows. I don't know if you like the animal documentaries, the bears and the cats and all those, and the penguins and the monkeys. I don't know what else we've watched. But one of the main things about all those is that when the babies are born, they have to stick around the mother for a long time to learn how to be the animal that they're supposed to be. We just watched one on lions this past week. Now that lion could be sitting there, that baby lion could be maybe, you know, a few months old, and it's doing fairly well. It's eating meat now, it's not on milk anymore, and so it may think, you know what, I'm not hungry that much. I'm okay, I'm doing fine on my own. I'm gonna just venture out here, I've got this thing handled. Well, mama didn't teach the baby how to hunt yet. He's still missing some crucial aspects of what it means to be a lion. So he steps out too soon, she steps out too soon, whatever, and she ends up getting toasted by one of the other animals over on the plains there. What happened? She stepped out of the one that was supposed to teach her and train her who she was supposed to be. And so many times we do that to our pastors. We do that to our churches. We do that to our spiritual relationships. We have this place that we're supposed to be nurtured and growing, just like these verses tell us, into who God has called us to be. And none of us have arrived yet. How long do we need these gifts that it's talking about, verses 12 and 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith? Are we all in the unity of the faith yet? We're not. And until Jesus comes, we're not going to be. So until Jesus comes, we need these gifts. Otherwise, we step out too soon. We miss crucial things that God has for us to learn. And then we're vulnerable out there for the enemy to take hold of us and ruin our lives. And a lot of times, you know, I've talked to people that say, well, that's just a tactic to keep people in the church. Listen, if that's the way that you're thinking, the word isn't going to help us, right? The word is truth. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The word tells us that these gifts are for us to help us to change our lives forever. And if we step out from that too soon, we miss out on the things that God has for us to learn in this life. We don't come here to church just to come here and have our hands held by the pastor, just to be told that it's okay, dear saint, you're going to make it, you're going to be okay. That's a lot of times what the church has become, but that's not God's full intention for it. God's intention for the church is for us to come here, learn him, learn his word, learn his truths, learn his spirit, so that we can go out there and be the church out there. That's what he's called us to do. But if we separate too soon from that, if we don't recognize and honor that relationship and hold it sacred, we'll miss out, and we won't be effective as believers or sheep. Now, I'm talking about prayer. That was 15 minutes just on being here. But we need to be stirred on these things. Amen? I'm not just going to read this for you. Matthew 9:36. When Jesus saw the throngs, this is the Amplified, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, harassed, and distressed, and dejected, and helpless. And here's the reason why they were all these things, like sheep without a shepherd. Amen. See, we need a pastor to be spiritually healthy. And I want to be spiritually healthy. We all want to be naturally healthy, right? We're doing all the things that they tell us we're supposed to be doing. We're meditating on Psalms 91, that no plague comes near my dwelling. We want to be naturally healthy, but we ought to want to be spiritually healthy too. This is exactly how we do it. Praise the Lord. So we need a pastor, their gifts to us. The next area I want to stir your faith in is that your prayers have the power to affect change in the world. Your prayers, any one of us, our prayers as children of God have the power to affect change in the world. Turn to James 5:16 in your Bibles. You've probably heard this scripture before. I know I've preached it here before, and I'm sure Pastor Mike has. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Do you guys have the Amplified? Go ahead and put that up if you would. James 5:16 in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. They're getting it, but I'll read while they get it up there. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayers. There we go. The earnest, heartfelt, and then the next slide, if you would. Continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Listen, you and I have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. That means that when we spend time in prayer, when we are a people of prayer, when we take the time to pray, our prayers are doing exactly what this says. They are making tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. every sermon that Pastor Mike preaches, every miracle that happens in this ministry, every healing that happens, every phone call he makes to a sheep, every text message that he makes to a sheep. Listen, any of those times, you don't want Mike Anderson. You want Pastor Mike Anderson. How do you get Pastor Mike Anderson? By making prayer and power available. This is how we do it. I don't want what Michael Loketic has to offer. I want what Pastor Michael Loketic has to offer, because it's that office on him that allows the equipment to get into my life that I need. And how do I activate that? I do it by making power available, by being a person of prayer for them. It may not even be for me. I want to know that when my pastor is ministering to someone else, he's doing it from the power of God. How do I help be a part of that? This is our place in the local church. How do I help be a part of that? By being a person of prayer. A lot of times we want to be up here on the pulpit, right? We want to be in front. We want to be the one laying hands on people. Maybe some of us don't, but some people do. Some people do. But we all play a part in that happening. Listen, when someone comes up for ministry here, when he calls out by word of knowledge a healing that needs to happen in someone's body and they come up, if you're praying for him in this ministry, you are right there with him laying hands on that person. You're helping generate the power to minister life-changing ministry of God to that individual. What an amazing privilege to be a part of, that we get to help this happen. And how do we do it? How do we get so involved in these things? By being people of prayer in the local church for our pastors. I want to talk about a car engine. This illustration came to me today when I was putting this together. How many of you know in a car engine, there's a lot of different components, right? There's a lot of different parts of it that go in there. There's two very important parts. There's the battery, and there's the alternator. And if you don't know what those do, I'll tell you. This is just my brief, not a mechanic overview. The battery powers stuff, right? I told you I'm not a mechanic. And the alternator keeps the battery charged so the battery can power stuff. There, that's about as basic as we can get here. Both of those things are crucial for the vehicle to run right. Our job as the church is to be the alternator, that we're constantly generating power for that battery to do the job in the rest of the car that it needs to do. How many know when the alternator stops working, the car will still run for a little bit. It'll still go for a little bit. You might still get radio for a little bit. But eventually, things are going to start to shut off. Things are going to start to slow down. The air conditioner is going to start to get warm. How do I know this? I've experienced a bad alternator before. Most of us maybe have. Our job in the church is to be that alternator, constantly, constantly be generating power in the church to charge the battery so that it can provide what it needs to the rest of the vehicle. You may say, but I don't want to be an alternator. That's what God's called us to be. What did Jesus say to the Apostle Paul? Why do you kick against the pricks? Right? Why do you constantly have to fight back to what I've called you to do? Yeah. I'm not saying any of us are doing that. Maybe you are. If you are, we have help here tonight so that we're not in that place anymore. Yeah. God's called us to be sheep in a local church, so let's be the best sheep that we can be. Yeah. Amen. We're going to take our place as alternators in this engine that is Family Church Allegheny and keep the power generated. I was in a church once, and I've shared this illustration before. I was just there for a service. I wasn't ministering. But the pastor had it on his heart to begin to minister to people by word of knowledge. Different needs needed to be addressed and things. And he had a healing line up at the front of the church. And as he was ministering to people, a prayer burden came on me. And if you don't know what a prayer burden is, you know, there's times that we just, we spend time in prayer, we make power available, and we're going to look today at how to do that. I'm not just going to tell you to pray and then leave you to figure it out on your own. We're going to see in the Word how to do it. But there's times that we pray and make power available. And then there's other times that as the Spirit leads, a burden or I don't know how to describe it other than it, that's what it's called, is a prayer burden, where it comes on you in your heart and you have a need that is, you can feel it in your physical body that needs to be addressed by prayer. And I knew that this was happening in that moment. So I didn't make a big deal. I didn't put a show on or anything like that. I just sat down in my seat and I began to pray. And I was travailing and just praying, it was praying very hard, we could say it like that. And I had a revelation in that moment. It wasn't a vision, but I knew what was happening by word of knowledge, that I was praying and making power available in that moment for the people he was ministering to exactly as he was ministering to them. Now, thank God for the Holy Ghost to do that. And it was amazing because the Lord told me to be in that service. It wasn't a service I would normally go to. It wasn't my church, wasn't my pastor, but I knew that I had to be there. And I realized later why, because someone sensitive to the Spirit, it could have been anybody, it didn't have to be me, but someone sensitive to the Spirit needed to be there to make that power available. Otherwise, as that pastor was ministering to people, those people wouldn't have had anything to receive. They wouldn't have had, there would have been no power to transmit to them. Now, in that hand, we look at that and think, oh, praise God, you know, you were there, you were able to do that. Yeah, but that wasn't God's highest and best plan for that service or that church. See, what happened is that battery went to go put out power, and it was dead because nobody was generating power for it. I knew that by word of knowledge in that moment. No one was praying for that ministry. No one was praying for that pastor. And because of that, as he was ministering to people, I was having to almost play catch-up to try and help just get something into him. It was like a jump start so that he'd have something to get going with. Not to say, you know, the pastor can pray, and your pastor does pray. Of course, the pastor of this church prayed for his ministry, prayed to the Lord for wisdom on how to do it. But if we don't take our place, people will miss out on what they need. And if, you know, this ministry, Pastor Mike's talked so much about Miracle Mike, right? The revelation that came through different prophets of God throughout the body of Christ. Not just one, multiple words about what God is going to do through this ministry, through the South Dayton ministry. The miraculous things that are going to happen. Listen, we want those things to happen, right? We want people's lives to be changed. We want people in wheelchairs that can't walk to come in and leave here healed by the power of God. Amen. We want these things to happen, but do we want them bad enough that we'll pray for them to happen? Do we want them bad enough that we'll pray for our pastor to have the anointing and the power of God for these things to happen? If we're not hungry for those things, what are we doing here? We're just playing church. No, we're not a church that plays church. The family churches don't play church. This is the real deal. We are here for all the things that God has for us. So let's pray like we believe those things. Amen. Our prayers make power available for people's lives to be changed. Look in Acts 3 with me real quick. Acts 3. I'm not anywhere near my message. I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to change this for tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 3. You getting help tonight, amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Are we being stirred tonight? Amen. Praise God. Acts 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. How many of you have heard of this miracle before, right? Such an amazing demonstration of God's power and a testimony to all of those in the temple who had seen this man laid there for so long, lame, that was now healed up and walking by the power of God. Glory to God. Lives were changed because of what happened there. But what was the key to this happening? Because it didn't just happen. It wasn't just a random flitting moment that came to pass. There was something that had to happen before this. Flip up just a few verses, Acts 2, verse 42. And they, the church, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So they went to church. In the breaking of bread, they fellowshiped together. And here's the kicker, and in prayers. Amen. See, how did that miracle that we all love and adore in Acts chapter 3 happen? It happened because of verse chapter 2, verse 42, that this was a church, a praying church. Yes. These were sheep that took their place in praying for the ministry, for the power of God, for the miracles that Jesus had for that time. They took their place in praying for that so that this thing could be accomplished. We all want Pastor Mike to walk around and point to the lame man and have him rise up and walk again. Yes. We all want that. How does that happen? By us praying. By us taking our part in the local church and being people of prayer for our pastors. Now we're going to look super duper quick. I mean, does time go faster in Allegheny? Is this like, are we in like a time warp here or something? What is going on? We're going to look real quick. Why do people not pray? Now we're not going to look at this to cast bondage on any one of us, but this is a good checkup chance for us, right? When we come to the Word of God, it says that it's like a mirror for us to look in, that when we see how we don't match up, we make the adjustment we need to make so that we match up to it. It's not for us to be, you know, we don't look in the mirror in the morning and get mad that our hair isn't perfect and then just throw a fit the whole day. Well, my hair was messed up when I looked. No, you fix your hair, and then you go on with your life. We ought to do the same thing with spiritual things. If we don't line up with what we see, fix it and move on. Let's not make a big deal about it. So the first thing why people don't pray, they don't have the faith for it. How many of you know prayer is an act of faith? You're talking to nothing you can see. You're interacting with something that you cannot, with any of your natural senses, interact with. It's an act of faith. And how does faith come? By hearing the Word of God. So we're being stirred up on that tonight. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But I encourage you, find scriptures, the ones we've talked about tonight, other ones. Stir yourself up on these. If you're having trouble getting into prayer, getting into these things, build your faith on it. Because when our faith builds up, it becomes easy for us to flow in spiritual things. The next reason, don't throw anything at me. It's hard on the flesh. Prayer doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it'd be a whole lot nicer to go get a pizza than it would be to spend an hour in prayer. But how many know that pizza isn't going to have somebody rise up out of a wheelchair? That Netflix binge that you're so longing for isn't going to change anybody's life, right? It's hard on the flesh, and because of that, a lot of times people don't take the time to do it. We don't have time to turn here, but if you want to write down this reference, John 20, 24 to 29, talks about Thomas, the disciple Thomas. Of course, we all know the story of Thomas. But because Thomas couldn't have any natural satisfaction as to what they had told him had taken place, he was considered not as blessed as the other disciples. Jesus said, "Blessed are those that have seen me, that have, Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." We want to be blessed of him. How do we do that? By an act of faith. By, hey, even if I can't see, feel, taste, hear, or touch what I'm doing right now, I know that something is happening. I know, and I'm laying down the thoughts. I'm laying down the flesh. I'm putting it down. I'm putting it aside. I'm crucifying it like Jesus told me to do. I'm buffeting it like Paul told us to do. We put aside the flesh and press toward the mark of what God has for us. Seek first the things of God. Praise the Lord. Let's see. How do we conquer the flesh? Let me just make sure we say this. We do it by making our spirit stronger. How do we do that? We go back to verse 1, by building our faith. We build up our spirit on the importance of these things, on our ability to be effective in these things. Then it'll cause that power to rise up in us, and eventually it will be led by our spirits and not our flesh. What does the Bible say? Sow to the spirit, reap of the spirit, right? We're going to sow to the spirit and reap of that. Praise the Lord. Now this last one, and then we're going to look at how to actually pray. This last one, I might turn around for this one. I don't know. People don't pray because they don't get any glory from it. Which is a symptom of something a whole lot worse. It's a symptom of pride, right? A lot of times, sheep are quick to want to be the biggest giver, to want to be the one to put the money in the pastor's hand every week, to want to be the one serving in all the ministries every week. Why? Because you get noticed. Right? People see us when we're doing those things. People see how much money I'm putting in. Maybe not everybody, but some people see it. People see how much I'm serving, how hard I'm working for the local church, patting myself on the back every week for my greatness as a sheep. But when it comes to prayer, if we're doing it the way that God's told us to do it, nobody should know that we're people of prayer. I can look through this congregation and not know who is the person that's making the most power available for this ministry. If we're doing it right, and that's how it ought to be. The people in our church that I know are the people of prayer for the ministry, I only know it because I've prayed with them, and I've seen how they pray, and I know how they pray. But otherwise, I'd have no clue, because they don't go around with a big T-shirt on that says, "I'm a prayer warrior for my pastor." That's not how God has for us to pray. But a lot of times, people don't want to take their place in prayer because nobody will ever see it. Your pastor may never even know that you're one that's a prayer warrior for him. Are we okay with that? We have to be. We have to be. If we're going to be people of prayer, I just went all the way to the top of my notes right there. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. We're going to see what Jesus says about this attitude. Matthew 6. Did I say 5? I meant 6. Matthew 6 and verse 5. And this is Jesus himself talking. He said, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. How many of you don't want to be like a hypocrite is, right? I don't want to be. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What does that mean? That means their reward, the only reward that they're getting by being people of prayer, is what they're getting by being seen in that moment. That when everybody sees them as they're walking by, and I don't know about you, but I look at people like that, and of course I love them, don't get me wrong, but I think, ew. Because it's pride. And pride stinks in the nostrils of God, right? Pride smells foul to him. It's the attitude of Satan. People that need to be recognized for everything that they're doing in the local church, that's the same attitude that the devil had. He wasn't recognized enough by God, and so he decided to rebel against him. It stinks. It's foul. I'm not calling anybody Satan if you've thought this way. You're not. Don't worry about it. I'm just saying this is an opportunity for us to just check up on ourselves, right? Verse 6, but you, when you pray, he's talking to us, when we pray, enter into your closet or a quiet, reserved area. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. See, prayers, when we become people of prayer, we recognize and we lay down the fact that no one may ever know what I'm doing. No one may ever know the hours that I've poured into praying for my pastor. I'm not saying me, just in general, the hours that have been poured into praying for your pastor. No one may ever know the sacrifices that you've had to make to be a person of prayer. Not that we have to make big sacrifices. It's not hard to pray, and we're going to see that tonight. But a lot of times, maybe we do have to put aside things that we would want to do otherwise, or like we talked about putting down the flesh before. But he's faithful to his word. He said that those that prayeth in secret, he would reward openly. And if he said it, he meant it. Amen. How does he reward us? I love what my pastor said. He rewards us with his presence. Yes. Hebrews 11 tells us that if we seek diligently the kingdom of God, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 6 says that. A lot of times I've been in prayer, and I'm not trying to be who I just told you not to be. I'm just telling you by example here. I've been in prayer in my office at home, and I'll just get quiet. And I mean, the presence of God comes into that place. It's not just for church. The glory of God isn't just for this building. We learn him here. We learn of how to access him, how to get to him, how to seek him, how to hunger for him. But we can have that wherever we are. You can have it in your car. You're having a bad day at work. You can go in the bathroom and have a little glory session. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You can enjoy the presence of God wherever you are because he goes there with you. And when we seek him, he rewards us with his presence. Amen. No one may ever know about it, but having the Father know about it, isn't that enough? Mm-hmm. If it's not, it's an opportunity for us to check up on ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be people of prayer. We're going to be a sheep that prays. Now, what I want to close with is how to pray. I told you we'd close with this. Closing got here a lot quicker than I anticipated. But we're going to talk about how to be effective prayers, Amen. Right? Because we want to do it effectively. We can waste our time with it. My family and I, we drove down to Georgia a couple of months ago before it was the quarantine, don't worry, before everything was illegal, we drove down. We went on a little vacation at a cabin in the mountains just away from everybody and everything. I love you, but we went away. And while we were down there, I followed directions to get where I had to go. Now, I could have just left my driveway and headed south. My wife's van has a compass in it that says S when I'm going south. I know that Georgia's south. I could have just headed south and hope that I get there. But how many know it would have been an awful ride? Would have gone through a few buildings, a few ditches, a few lakes, a few rivers. It would have been a terrible trip for us. If we got there, we would have been broken and battered on the other side of the trip. Why? What happened? I had directions. I followed those directions, and I easily got to where I needed to go. with prayer, with all the things of God, he gives us directions so we can get exactly where he wants us to get easily, with nothing tripping us up along the way. And he tells us how to be effective or effectual in our prayer, because that's what makes power available. Amen. Isaiah 43:26. You don't need to turn there. He said, "Put me in remembrance." This is New King James. "Let us contend together." See, when we put him in remembrance of his word, is what he's saying. When we bring his word before him, what are we doing? We're now in the ring. We're arm in arm with God Almighty, going after what we're going after. So if we're praying for our pastor, it's not just little old me in this big broken world trying to fix things. It's me with Jesus Christ wrapped around my arm. And he's escorting me through his word, through different scriptures. He's taking me places, and he's helping me see things, and he's helping us address this. And then we walk over here, and we're taking care of this. And I'm just along for the ride, yes, if we're doing it right. I'm just following him. I'm letting him drive, and we're just going wherever he wants to go. When we pray according to his word, that's how he does it. We put him in remembrance of it, and he contends with us for these things. He helps us pray for our pastors. Amen. Praise the Lord. The other part, we sang it in that song tonight, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. How do we know that our prayers can be effective, that he hears our prayers, that they're not just unanswered prayers like country songs tell us they might be? We do it by praying out his will. What's his will? The word of God. Amen. So we're going to take a few minutes here, and we're going to pray together, because we're going to do this by teaching and demonstration here tonight, because I want you to see how we do this. It's important to know how to pray, because a lot of times we hear these messages and we make it up to be this big thing. It's not a big thing. Prayer, I love Brother Hagin said this, prayer is simply talking to your Father. Right. It's a conversation. Yeah. I mean, on the way here tonight, I had Joshua with me. We had conversation. Was it hard for either of us? Was it hard for you to talk to me in the car? No, it wasn't. He wasn't sitting over there, "Oh, what do I say? Will he like me afterwards? Is this still going to be good?" He wasn't having a panic attack about talking to me, because I'm his Father. That'd be the same way we talk to our Heavenly Father. It's just a conversation with him. Amen? So we don't want to make it more than it is, but it is something big too, but he's right there with us. So Ephesians chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but write these references down if you're taking notes. If not, go ahead and get something out and take notes with, because these are the scriptures. You can go out and try and find new ones, but these ones work. So why, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. Now this first one, we pray this for our pastors, you pray it for yourself, is to know the will of God. How many know you want your pastor to know the will of God? For himself, for his family, for this ministry, for every life that walks through these doors here. This is in Ephesians chapter 1, 16 through 19. And I'll show you how we do it. This is how I do it. You can just bow your heads and agree with me as we pray, all right? Father, I cease not to give thanks for Pastor Mike, making mention of him in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to him the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of his understanding being enlightened, he would know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards him. Amen. See how easy that is? Every day we take a few minutes to do this. It doesn't take long. We're teaching on this tonight, but it doesn't take long to do this. Every day that we do this, we're now making power available for Pastor Mike to know what he needs to do before he even knows that he needs to do it. So that when he opens the door or when he sees the door, there's already something prepared behind him, behind that door. How do we prepare that room? By being people of prayer, right? This next one, write this down, Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. This set of scriptures, of course, we've now prayed for him to know the will of God for his ministry. This teaches, this is making power available for him to have the strength to walk that out. How many know a good leader leads by faith, right? Your pastor buying this building was an act of faith. Building South Dayton was an starting a church in Olean and South Dayton is an act of faith. Your pastor needs to be able to walk by faith. And how do you help give him the strength to do that? Of course, he has a part to play too, but he does. We know that. He leads by example. You know your pastor's faithful. But we have a part to play in that by helping make power for him to tap into, to do what he now knows he needs to do. And that's what we pray in these ones. So now it says, I bow my knees. I'm not going to do that, but if you pray this, I usually do when I do it, because I don't like saying it That's me. Anyways, for this cause, Lord, we bow our knees. We come to you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you would grant to Pastor Mike, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in his inner man, that Christ would dwell in his heart by faith, and that he, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that he would be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just like that. It's so simple, so simple. Ephesians 6, with just a few more here. Verses 19 and 20. This prayer is a prayer for him to have boldness in ministry. How many love Pastor Mike Anderson's boldness? Yeah. How many of you have had things broken off of you because of that boldness? Amen? We want that same thing for everybody that walks through these doors. So we pray this. Lord, we pray for Pastor Mike that utterance would be given to him, that he may open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which he's an ambassador in bonds, that therein he may speak boldly as he ought to speak. Amen. Next one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We pray these to help them be effective in ministry and to be delivered from wrong people. I know ministries that have been tripped up by code inspectors, by people that would try and mess up the ministry, interfering with what God is doing, just being a nuisance to what God wants to do. These prayers help avoid people like that, help keep the plan of Satan from reaping where he wants to try and reap. We have a part to play in protecting the church. Our pastor protects us. We help protect him. Amen. Finally, Lord, we pray for him that the Lord, word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified in his ministry, even as it is with you, that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. In Acts 4, 29 and 30, we pray for the miraculous. How many of you want the miraculous around here? Amen. 4, 29 and 30. Lord, behold the threatenings of those and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done in this place by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So that's five prayers we can pray in English, just praying. And there's a whole lot more. It's just five I wanted to bring out tonight that we pray, that just praying those every day will change the world of what God wants to do in this place. Maybe you already are. Praise the Lord for it. If you already are, then there's other things that we can go into, and we're going to look real quick at that because this is the last scripture, Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is where, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Remember how I was talking about Jesus taking us on places, taking us in rooms and preparing them for him? We do that through his glorious Holy Ghost. We have the Father, we have the Son. We can't neglect the importance of the Holy Ghost in our lives, and especially when it comes to being people of prayer. When we're baptized with him, filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, I encourage you to talk to Pastor Mike about it next week. Praying in tongues is a demonstration of the Spirit. When we get baptized and filled with his Holy Spirit, we begin to pray out in languages that don't make sense to us naturally, but they are of God, and the Bible's clear about it. And when we do that, the scripture tells us here, we can pray as much as we know in English. And you might be able to take those five scriptures, you could probably find a whole lot more, and then you could even put a nice little floaty layer on top of it. Lord, bless Pastor Mike. We love him. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor, and you know, make it sound all pretty and elegant and beautiful. But eventually, you're going to run out. You're going to come up. There's things, because why? There's things that Pastor Mike needs to do, needs to take care of, might have to go through one day, people he might interact with one day. There's things that none of us know anything about. Right? There's things he may not even know about that he's dealing with or has to take care of. But the Holy Ghost knows. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we help address those things and take care of those things so that it's interacting with God and letting him take care of the situation, making that power available. So I encourage you, we've seen here tonight, our pastors are gifts to us. We ought to value them. But most importantly, we need to be praying for them. Amen. I told the Lord on the way here, I said, Lord, I'm stirred up myself. Just, you know, I already do pray for my pastor, but I can always step it up more, and I want to because I want to be a part of what God is doing through my man of God. How do I do that? By being a person of prayer. Praise the Lord. So If you need those scriptures after tonight, I'd be happy to give them to you after service tonight. But why don't we go ahead and pray together? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for helping us here tonight. Thank you, Father, that we're leaving this place better than we came, looking more like Jesus than when we came in these doors tonight. Father, we give thanks for Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney. We thank you, Lord, for anointing them to this place. Father, we thank you for a restful time for them this week and that they come back this weekend refreshed and ready to do whatever it is that you'd have done here. And Lord, as we close this service tonight, I want to give an invitation because I don't know everyone here. We've talked about the gift of the pastor, but before that, we talked about the gift of salvation. See, God loves you and he gave you a pastor, but even before that, God loved you so much that he gave you his son. He gave Jesus to this world, and Jesus went to hell in our place that we wouldn't have to suffer for the sins that we've committed. And if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, if we believe and receive the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us, that's the ticket to not only get into heaven, but to have a blessed life here on earth. Because all of us will one day pass from this existence into the next one. And when we do, there's two places we can go, heaven and hell. How do we get into heaven? We do that by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I want to make an invitation here tonight because I don't know everyone. If you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior in this place tonight, make him Lord of your life, believe that he went to hell for you, go ahead and raise your hand right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And also, those on live stream, stay tuned if you're watching with us tonight. This is a decision that you can make. You don't have to be in this place, and it's not the raising of the hand that makes you saved. It's believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to give a second invitation real quick here. If you're here tonight and you need to rededicate your life to God, the Bible talks about the prodigal son that has stepped away from his father, that when he went back home, his father was there with open arms. If that's you tonight, you want to rededicate your life, go ahead and raise your hand now. I'm the only one looking around. I don't see any hands here tonight. Beautiful summer night. I figured that'd be the case. But if you are online and you are watching, you need to rededicate or give your life to the Lord. It's easy. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, you shall be saved. So that's all you have to do is just get on your knees before the Father and say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me and rose again so that I could be saved. When you do that, Jesus comes into your heart, and I guarantee that your life will never be the same. And if you've made that decision, make sure you go to the website, fccatco.org, and email the pastor, let him know about it so that he can help you get started on your relationship with the Lord and take you into new places that God has for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's so good, isn't he? Amen. Aren't you thankful for the word? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go ahead and receive the offering here tonight. And I know you know this, but why do we do it at the end of service now? It's so that you can drop your offering in the bucket as you head out. And until some of the regulations and things are lifted, I know this is how we've got to do it. So we're going to look to the word, though, because in anything that we do, we want to do it according to Scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:7. If you can just put that up on the screen, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Praise God. It says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We always talk about the cheerful giver part of that because we want to have the right attitude in our giving. But just like we talked about earlier, in his heart, that's where God's looking. He's not looking at the number on the paper. Of course, he wants to know that we're tithing, but if the tithe isn't attached to love and faith in our heart, it's worthless. It has no effect. It doesn't bless the local church. It doesn't help us personally. It doesn't give us all the thing that the Bible promises the tithe gives to us. Because then it just becomes, we're just paying for these things. We're just paying for church. It's just another bill to us if our heart's not attached to it. You know the story of Naaman in the Old Testament? He was in the king's guard. It's in 2 Kings 5. And in that, Naaman was sick. He had leprosy. And he went to the man of God, who was at that time Elisha, and he went to him and he was seeking healing from him. And Elisha told him what to do, and he did it. And there's a whole lot of other truths in that set of scripture there that you can get hold of. But he did it. Then after he got healed from it, he wanted to pay Elisha. And Elisha said, no, I don't want your money. Now, I believe Elisha's ministry could have used that money. Of course he could have. There's places he had to go. There's things he had to do. It would have been a blessing to him. But he turned it down because, of course, he knew that Naaman was just trying to pay for his healing. He was just trying to pay for the things of God. It wasn't a gift to the Lord God Almighty for this great thing he had received. He just expected it to be a regular transaction. See, every time that we come to church, we have an opportunity to put this into practice for ourselves. That here we are, we've come to hear the word of God. We've come to be blessed in this place. Am I paying for these things? Or is my heart truly attached to my offering, that it's a gift to my Heavenly Father in thankfulness for what he's done for me? We just got to check up on ourselves, right? Make sure that our hearts are right in the offering. So as you give tonight, as you head out, we'll pray over it as we head out. And I encourage you, make sure you have faith and your heart attached to that. Father, thank you for an opportunity to sow into this ministry, to sow into this house and the good work that you're doing here, Father. Lord, we thank you that this funds goes into good ground, comes back to us pressed down, shaken together and running over. We thank you for the storehouse that you've called us to. And thank you, Lord, for all the tithers and givers in this place tonight, that your blessing is on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's been wonderful being with you all this week. I encourage you again, don't forget, come back next week. Hear Pastor Mike. You'll be blessed by it. It'll be a good word from heaven. Of course, we know that without a doubt. And like I said, if you need those scriptures, I'll be up here. I'd be happy to give them to you. Otherwise, Jeff's back there with the offering bucket. You can drop it in. Am I missing anything, Jeff?
No.
I think that's it. You are dismissed.
What does it mean to be saved? Is it more than just a pathway? More than just a way to heaven? What does it mean to be his? To be formed in his likeness? Know that we have a purpose.
Here's our purpose, sir.
To be salt and light in the world. Show.